Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us. Lord, I pray for our ministry. Lord, I know some of us might be discouraged, and sometimes I'm discouraged, but Lord, I find strength because, Lord, you have something better planned for us, for this ministry. And Lord, I pray, Lord, in this world, you know, where there's loneliness, where there's lack of trust, where everyone is just out for themselves, and, you know, some of us not knowing who to turn to if you need any, if you want to confide in our lives. Lord, in this world of mistrust, of, you know, a lot of bad things going on, we sometimes find it confusing. But Lord, in this world, let us be the shining light. Let us be the ones that make a difference in this place. And Lord, lead us. Because for now, you know, right now, I don't know. We don't know where we're going. But Lord, I pray that you will guide us and lead us, lead our ministry. Lord, Father, I pray for the brothers and sisters here. There's Key and Paul who weren't able to come due to work reasons today. I pray that you'll be with them. And Lord, you'll strengthen them. I pray for the brothers and sisters here that, Lord, that we'll be able to experience you today. That we're not just going to just kind of listen to the Bible and, you know, just kind of go along. But Lord, that our lives may be changed. That we may actually, you know, get a glimpse of you and get to know you. I pray, Lord, that our ministry will be able to impact the community. Will not just be a building, just a pretty building. But Lord, we're going to not just stay here, but we're going to go out. And Lord, through us, Lord, you're going to make some impact. I pray that you'll be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Today's scripture comes from the book of 2 Chronicles. All right. And I'm going to do the scripture reading. And Yuri, you could actually come out now. Actually, no. Actually, Yuri, you're there, right? Are you there? You stick your head out? Okay, can you do me a favor? Get out of the screen. I want to show you guys a video on our website. I just posted it this morning. I actually came late because I wanted to post it up. Go to the website. See where it says sharing one or faith one-on-one? Maximize that screen. Don't play it yet. There you go. Play when I tell you. I'm going to just give you a little intro to this. This is... I just saw this morning. I thought I need to show this. You know, like normally I do the sharing of the gospel. I share the gospel. This is a guy that actually goes out to witness to an atheist. The difference between atheist and agnostic is that atheists, they believe there is no God. They actually absolutely believe there is no God. Whereas agnostics say, you know, there's a possibility of God. But this guy's an atheist. It's maybe like a 5-minute clip. So let's take a look. All right, Yuri, play. Volume on six. Six on the mixer. On the bottom of the mixer. Oh, yeah, no, you're right. No, you're right. On the sixth, last one. Last one on the right. Yuri, all the way on the right. All the way on the right. No, not there. All the way on the right. Go all the way to your right. There you go.
It's hard for me to just
get out of this and shut the music down, please.
Tells me I forgot about that. It's true unless I have proof.
Do you have a car?
Okay,
yeah.
Start over.
What make is it?
Ford.
Ford, why are you an atheist?
My beliefs, I look at things very practically speaking, I guess. I like to have proof that things are the way they are. So it's hard for me to just take some information that someone tells me and believe that it's true unless I have proof.
Do you have a car?
Yeah.
What make is it?
Ford.
Ford made it?
Ford made it?
Yeah, did they make your car? They're the maker?
Right.
Do you believe your car happened by accident? Could you believe that no one made the car?
No, I don't believe that.
So obviously everything made like a car has a maker. When you look at creation, don't you think to yourself there must be a creator? There's flowers, birds, trees, sun, moon, stars, the seasons, the human eye, the mind, everything has intricacies and it's wonderfully made and it has order from atom right up through the universe. Don't you think someone who said no one made the car would be lacking in brainery? For someone to say no one created creation just doesn't make sense, it's not logical. Do you think that's a fair argument?
Yeah, I think there's a point where you have to step back and just say, well, okay, maybe someone did create all of the elements around us, but I think that I believe that evolution did take place, And I think you can always step back before evolution and say, well, someone put all those elements in place in order for evolution to take place.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes.
Can I ask a few questions to see if it's true?
Sure.
Have you ever told a lie?
Sure.
Okay, what does that make you?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
As a kid.
What does that make you?
I guess a thief.
Uh-huh. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Sure.
Okay, that's using God's name as a cuss word. It's called blasphemy. And the final question is, in this respect, Jesus said whoever looks at a woman and lusts after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Sure.
Okay, Chris, by your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And you've got to face God on judgment.
Those are just words.
You've got to face God on judgment day, whether you believe in him or not. Big if. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, would you be innocent or guilty if he did?
Well, if all that's true, I'm guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
I guess if you believe in all that and it's all true, I'm going to hell.
Now, does that concern you?
No, because I don't believe any of that's true.
If I stepped off a six-story building and said to you, I don't believe in gravity, I just don't believe in it, do you think it's going to change reality?
That's real, though.
How do you know? You can't see gravity.
But you can test it.
Yeah, and you're testing the law of sin and death. If you die in your sins, the Bible says you have to face a holy creator who's seen your thought life, who gave you a conscience, and he's going to judge you by the secret sins that you've committed in darkness that nobody's seen, because he's a God of justice. You know what God did so you wouldn't have to go to hell? Any idea?
Just whatever the Bible says, I suppose.
What do you think he did for you? It's something really wonderful.
He died for me?
Jesus died on the cross for you, taking your punishment. That's what the Bible teaches, and it's called the gospel, and it means good news that Jesus paid your fine so you wouldn't have to come under God's wrath. Chris, he defeated your greatest enemy, your greatest fear, death itself, and all you have to do to see if it's true is obey the gospel. Repent, don't just confess your sins to God, but turn from them, and trust in Jesus like you trust a parachute. Put your faith in it, and the moment you do that, God says he'll forgive your sins and grant you everlasting life, and you'll pass out of death into life, and you'll come to know the God that you just didn't know existed.
Wouldn't we all be sinners, though, if I'm a sinner? And wouldn't we all be going to hell just like I am? Because, I mean, really, I've never committed crimes where I've ended up in a jail, or I've never had to go to a court. I've never been tried by anybody.
Yeah, but Chris,
so I'm a good person, I think. I have a family, and I've been married for 17 years. I have four kids. I, you know, work hard. I make my own way through life, and I'm friendly and courteous and truthful to people. And
that's true, Chris.
So yeah. Now, so how bad or how good do you have to be to not be a sinner?
You have to be perfect in thought, word, and deed.
So how many of us are perfect?
None of us. There's only one that was perfect, the Son of God.
So
we all need the Savior. We all need to repent. There's not a righteous man on the face of the earth. And Chris, you said you're a good person, and by man's standard, that's true. There are plenty of people worse than you. But God's not going to judge you by man's standard, which is very low. He's going to judge you by holiness, justice, and truth, and righteousness. And you are in a prison, and you're facing capital punishment. You're waiting to die. We've got a big blue roof here with good air conditioning and good lighting. But you're waiting to die. You're on death's row. One day death will seize upon you. And that's because God's proclaimed upon you the death sentence, the soul that sins, it shall die. Now God offers you a reprieve, and your wife, and your children. If you love them, open your heart and say, God, I need to know the truth, because I don't want to wait till I'm burying a loved one before I open my heart to you and ask things that really matter. So think of your family and how you should lead them into the knowledge of everlasting life, and your wife. And if you've got all these blessings, you should be abounding with thanksgiving to the God that gave you life, and not denying his existence. You should be saying, God, I'm so sorry I've lifted my back to you. You've lavished your goodness upon me. My brain, my eyes, my wife, my children, my health, this wonderful free country we've got. God, I yield my life back to you. And he'll transform you on the inside and make you a new person, give a new heart with new desires.
I don't know what after the what was the end goal of that person's life, but I think, you know, here you see that he went from pure atheist to, you know, maybe there is a God. And I think that's, you know, because I'm actually talking with an atheist. I'll actually bring it up back again when I give the message. But you know, I think Yeah, I thought the evangelist was a bit rough too, but you know, I thought it was a good picture that we could actually look at. You know, and all right, so let's go into our scripture. Today's scripture comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 14. It's on the back of your, it's on the right side of your bulletin. So take a look. I'm gonna read and follow along. It's on your bulletin, okay? And Abijah rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. Asa, his son, succeeded him as king. And in his days, the country was at peace for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. He removed the foreign altars and the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to obey his laws and commands. He removed the high places and incense altars in every town in Judah, and the kingdom was at peace under him. He built up the fortified cities of Judah, since the land was at peace. No one was at war with him during those years, for the Lord gave him rest. Let us build up these towns, he said to Judah, and put around them with towers, gates, and bars. The land is ours, because we have sought the Lord our God. We sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built, and they prospered. Asa had an army of 300,000 men from Judah, equipped with large shields and with spears, 280,000 from Benjamin, armed with small shields and with bows. All these were brave fighting men. Zerah the Cushite marched out against them with a vast army and 300 chariots and came as far as Maresha. Asa went out to meet him, and they took a battle position in the valley of Zephatha near Maresha. Then Asa called out to the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rely on you. And in your name we have come against this vast army. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. The Lord struck down the Cushites before Asa and Judah. The Cushites fled, and Asa and his army pursued them as far as Gerar. Such a great number of Cushites fell that they could not recover. They were crushed before the Lord and his forces. The men of Judah carried off a large amount of plunder. They destroyed all the villages around Gerar, for the terror of the Lord had fallen on them. They plundered all these villages since there was so much booty there. They also attacked the camps of the herdsmen and carried off droves of sheep and goats and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem. Amen. Today's message is titled, God We Can Trust. And I know there are some people that are not here today. I've asked some of them to listen to the message afterwards because we're recording it. So, all right, so those of you listening online, be sure to download the notes. It's on the same site. So, okay. Trust is an ever-needed thing in this world. Who do you rely on? Who do you believe in? Who do you trust in? Are you able to put confidence on anyone? You know, I was just thinking about it. Economy. How's the economy doing? You know, many people put their money on like real estate, into stocks, and many of them, you know, it's terrible. What about jobs, right? You know, can we trust our government? What about the money? You know, right now, I think Jason told me at one point that Social Security is being all wasted, right? So can we trust our government? Can we trust money? You know, can we trust the homes that we bought? You know, many Americans, they buy homes because it's the American dream, right? You know, get a home with a nice picket fence, have a family, you know, it's the American dream. So people buy houses, and then look at the real estate. People are going, getting foreclosed, they're being kicked out of their house. At this time, who can you trust in? Broken relationships. I know you guys have all had it, you know, whether it be your family, in your schools, you know, with their friends. I know you've seen it. I mean, you know, who can you really trust? I mean, maybe like a long time ago you had a best friend like in high school or elementary school or something. And then, I don't know, somehow you guys just kind of fell apart. And, you know, you guys, there might have been something that led you to mistrust. But you guys know what I mean by mistrust. You know, people say one thing and they do another. They say, yeah, I'll show up, you know, I'll be there at 9 o'clock, and they call at 8:59, say, hey, you know, I can't make it, and you got there already. And, you know, words no longer have meaning, right? And I was thinking about the increase in gays and lesbianism in this, you know, world, and I think, this is just my opinion here, but, you know, guys liking guys, you know, I think it has to do with mistrust. You know, where guys, you know, there was a girl, they you know, their picture of a woman is like someone like their mom, you know, they care for them and everything. But then when you kind of meet up with someone, they're actually like some scary person. It's like, it's not what was expected. So then they get hurt. Their trust is broken, and then they might revert to someone else. And someone else they're comfortable with, and who would they be comfortable with? It's their buddies, right? I don't know, it's just a thought that I had. But I think it's also because of lack of trust, because we really can't trust. Work environment is terrible. You know, if you guys know in your work environment, you know, the boss, you know, your colleagues, you can't really trust them. They're all out for themselves. You know, they want to, you know, if, you know, the company's like going through some tough times, you know, they all just take care of themselves, you know, make sure that I get all the benefits out of it. So who can you really trust? And, you know, I read somewhere that number one reason people leave work is because their relationship with the boss, they don't think their boss is really trustworthy, so they leave the work. So again, it's a matter of trust. And families, one out of every two marriages ends up in a divorce. And sometimes, you know, children can't even trust their parents because, you know, they see the parents constantly fighting, you know, and then see many friends, or even in their own lives, broken families. And so there's that broken trust. And then many times in our generation, we feel like we don't want to get married. You know, marriage is no longer a blessing as it used to be. It's rather, you know, you get married, you get tied down, and then, you know, it's just really, you break your trust, broken trust. There's no commitment in marriage, you know, because it can easily be broken by a divorce. All right, so then there's really no need for that trusting relationship. And so, you know, some people take it both ways. You know, yeah, let's get married, you know, whatever, and then we could divorce. Some people say, you know, we don't need to get married. Let's just have fun. You know, we could live together, have sex, have fun, break up, no commitment, no pain. There is no commitment. We don't have trust. All right? Who do you trust? Do you trust anyone? Do you trust the person next to you? You know? I think, Pastor John, you better be scared. But anyway, you know, I think in this world, because of so much broken relationships, broken trust, I think what ends up happening is I can't trust anyone, so then I gotta trust me. I could only trust me, only me. And then what happens is because of that mentality now, I can't trust anyone, now I can't trust God, because I only know me. I don't even know if this God could, you know, take care of me. I don't know if this God really is there. You know, what could he really do for me? Today, I want to tell you, listen, even in this broken world, you could still trust in God. He's still in control. He loves us. And you could trust him with whatever you have in your lives. Here's a verse from Psalms. It's 22, verse 4 to 5. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried out to you and were saved. In you, they trusted and were not disappointed. You know, I want to tell you, God could make everything right. Okay? And I don't know if you don't, you know, I can't do much about, you know, trusting other people, you know, because the world is like this, but there is a God you can trust. So think about that one. All right? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, in this midst of this world of craziness, Lord, Father, we sometimes wonder who we could really trust. But Lord, you say in your word that if we trust in you, Lord, that you will be with us and you will guide us. So then, Lord, help us to trust in you. Lord, I admit, Lord, there's so many people I don't trust. You know, so many people that have failed me, that never keeps their word. You know, they say something and they do something else. I know. But Lord, don't let that heart change me to be just someone that could only trust in myself. But Lord, let our hearts be transformed so that way we could, even in the midst of craziness, trust in you. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I started reading this book. Okay, last time, you know, a bunch of us guys went to Key's house, and Key had this cool-looking book. It was called, titled Speed of Trust by Stephen Covey. And as I looked at it, I'm like, wow, you know, Key, let me borrow it. And, you know, I think if Key starts charging me money for books that I borrow from him, I think he'll make a million. He'll be very rich. But anyway, I borrowed this book. It's a really cool book. It's by Stephen Covey. Any of you heard of Stephen Covey? Stephen Covey. Oh, man. All right, well, one person. Stephen Covey, he wrote books like Seven Highly Habits of Effective People. And anyway, he wrote many really good books, on leadership. And the title of this book is called Speed of Trust. All right, and as I was reading it, I was just, wow. You know, I know that I need to start earning trust from people. Right, that's one thing I want to do in my business life and my personal life and wherever I go. But this guy, he presented something. Look on your sheet. Okay, it's on your, I think you got to turn to the back of your sheet. Okay, where it says, low trust means things take longer. Right, do you see it on your sheet on the bottom? See, this was an eye-opener for me. He was saying that in the corporations, things slow down if there is no trust and they cost more. But if people are trusting, right, then things get done faster and it costs less. And I was shocked, you know, because it makes so much sense, right? I mean, look at, I just printed these pages from the book, but look at it, like 80% tax. There's a dysfunctional environment, in-person relationships, dysfunctional relationships, hot, angry confrontation. Think of a work, right, in the work environment. Hot, angry confrontation, cold, bitter withdrawal, defensive posturing, legal positioning, I'll sue you, verbal, emotional, and physical abuse. And then, I don't know, let's look at another one, like no tax, no dividend. You know, trust is okay in this corporation. Polite, people are polite, cordial, healthy communications, a focus on working together, let's try to get things done right, let's do it quickly, no worries, all right? And then if you look at like the world-class trust, true joy in family and friendships characterized by caring and love, free, effortless communication, inspiring work done together, characterized by purpose, creativity, and excitement. People are open. This is like the form of community. And I was shocked because this is what trust does. And in this world, we don't have that much of it. Have you ever been to like a workplace? I mean, I know many of you had like at least part-time jobs or something, right? In your workplaces, I mean, was there a lot of trust? And you know, I was trying to come up with an example. What is, you know, is this really true? Does this really happen in real life? Many of you drive, right? I was thinking about it. In New Jersey, northern New Jersey and New York, we have a lot of traffic, right? I think it's because of less trust. Well, hear me out on this, okay? In Virginia, Florida, other southern states, right? People drive freely because when they know that the other person has a stop sign, they know people are generally going to stop. So they just kind of cruise along. They don't really stop. But here in New York, northern New Jersey, New York area, how many of you stop or slow down even if there is no stop sign for you? You know, I'm talking about those busy intersections. I actually slow down because I know some idiot's going to come and hit my car even though he has a stop sign. See, I don't trust these other drivers. Do you trust other drivers? And, you know, and that's why we have more traffic. I kind of figured it out, you know, because we don't trust, that's why there's more traffic and things are slower here. I don't know, that was a thought. You know, I think it makes sense with this point that Stephen Covey makes. All right, so do you guys agree with what Stephen Covey's saying? Because I think it really makes sense. And in our church, all right, this is something we want to do eventually. We want to, you know, form a community where people can fit in easily, where we love them and care for them. But that's another story, all right? Things will get better. We're starting out, okay? But things will get better. So just hang in there. All right, Stephen Covey makes another point. He says, the old teaching that, you know, how can you consider a person trustworthy? Do you guys think David is trustworthy over here? You know, how can you tell if a person is trustworthy? Stephen, the old teaching was a person is trustworthy if the person has character, the person has good ethics and tries to do what's right. But Stephen Covey says that's not the whole picture. There's actually a little more to it. You need to have the ethics and the competence. So let me give you an example. You have a car. You love your car. You baby your car, right? And, you know, you guys trust me. You know, you guys might think I have character and whatnot, you know? But then if you know the way I drive, would you trust me with your car? See, I mean, you know, see, that's the competence level. You know, I know, you guys know the way I drive. I'm going to mess up your car. So then you can't really trust me with a car then, right? Imagine, all right, there's a real ethical guy. He does everything right, but he has no idea of how to take care of kids. All right, would you trust this guy with your kids? See, there's a competence level that's important. Imagine this guy, he, you know, keeps confidentiality. You know, whatever you say to him, he's upright, he's very ethical, and he keeps all the secrets. But then, you know, he has no way to help you in the situation that you're in. I don't know, let's say, you know, you were saying, I want to, you know, help me to hook up with a mate, you know. Do you know any girls, you know? Come on, can you hook me up? But this guy has no connection, he's a hermit or something. Would you trust him with your ideas? So I think it has to do with competence and trust. I really agree with his point. That's why I'm bringing it out. You know, because if this person just has really high morals, very ethical, he's just a nice guy, but he can't help you. You can't really trust him with whatever you have. So it's those two things. But likewise, if a person doesn't have character, but he's very competent, would you trust that person? So, I don't know. Imagine this guy, he's very good with computers. Right, so, you know, I guess, you know, you can maybe give him your computer and say, hey, can you fix it for me? But then you know that he's very selfish. He does some weird things. Okay, he might, you know, you might wonder, you know, if he's going to put a virus on your computer to monitor everything you do. Right? Would you trust him with your computer? Right? He's very competent, but he doesn't have character. Right? Let's say there was somebody who's very good at editing papers, but he's known for lying and, you know, cheating and, I don't know, making you, you know, maybe... I don't know, you know, because on your resume, you got all these personal things about you. You know, this guy could go out and tell the company, yeah, this guy's a liar, you know, I don't know what he will do, but you don't trust his character. You know, can you trust him? So, I think it's those two things. You need the competence and the morals, the character. I think those are two things. And so, if a person has both, if you knew someone that was dependable, that truly cares about the good of you, the best for you, and was able to do something for you, maybe fix a machine, wouldn't you trust that person? You know, one thing I'm just going to briefly touch on, the church, you know, when I say church, it's you guys, okay? The church, we need to work on our character. Okay, that's what the Bible constantly tells us. You know, we got to constantly develop our character so that way we are morally, ethically, our character is solid. But of course, you know, because we're human, we're still going to be in the growing phase. But, so that's for us. You know, we need to grow constantly. That's what the Bible tells us. This is the grow aspect of our ministry, right? And for in terms of competence, God gifted us with all different talents. Each of us, God has given us different talents to use. Right? So I think we should continue to build those things as well. So then we, as a church, could be trustworthy. Who could really trust us if we're none of that, if we don't have character, and if we're not able to help them? Right? So I think those two things we need to do. But today I want to focus on how trustworthy our God is. I know we live in a society where I can only trust me, and God is, we don't even know if this God exists, right? We've gone to this point, and I want you to know we could trust God. You can trust God in your personal lives. All right. So just briefly, just to cover Stephen Covey's points, okay? Our God, he is solid. He has solid character. He doesn't change. He's love, he's firm, he's good, and he doesn't change. Here's a verse, I think it's on your notes. Here's a verse from Malachi. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and then not fulfill? I, the Lord, do not change. But let me give you a more realistic example. You know, when I first met my wife, you know, when she, you know, when we, I guess, started dating, right? We had this, like, she used to think that she's the princess, I'm the frog, right? And she would come up with all these rules about me, like, all right, you gotta, you know, maybe, I don't remember the rules, but frankly, I wanted to look it up, I couldn't find it yesterday, but, you know, maybe, like, the rules were, like, I gotta call her every, like, 2 hours, you know, and text her every 2 hours or something, and I have all these rules, and I tried to turn it back around to her, said, hey, you know, I'll do these things, okay, how about some rules for you? She wouldn't let me document anything, no rules for her, and she said, I could only make one rule for me, I could change the rules anytime I want. And I frankly didn't care because I loved my wife. But you know, if I could say, hey, Yuri, I'll meet you at 9 o'clock today, and then you know I break my word and then do it constantly, right? You wouldn't really trust me too much, right? God, He doesn't change. He is firm, and He's the God of the Bible. You know, what the Bible says, we could, you know, I guess go through the whole Bible if you want, but God doesn't change. His character is solid, doesn't change. So that's about His character. And what about what God can do? Do you guys remember the message several weeks ago about Gideon, the 300 versus 135,000 men? Right? With God, there's nothing that's impossible. God is able to do everything, anything. So, He can heal the sick, raise the dead. He can take care of us from where we are too. You know, do you have any worries? He could take care of it. So our God, He is a competent God, you know, and He has the character. If you follow the Stephen Covey's Guide of Trust, we could trust Him. But, you know, that's not all I'm going to talk about. But let's see, Romans 8, verses 31 through 32, that's what it says. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? He loves us. He wants to give us what's best for us. But He wants something from us first. He wants us to trust Him. So that trust comes first. Even if you're not sure if this God really exists or whatnot, right? Put your trust in God first and see if He will carry through. I assure you He will. All right, so I'm going to go through the scriptures now. All right, and here's what happened. In this, we're talking about this King Asa, right? Before King Asa, you know, many, many generations back was King Solomon. King David, King Solomon. And then after King Solomon's reign, they had a breakout. You know, now the country of Israel was two, Israel and Judah. Okay, and just like, if you guys recall the message about Book of Judges, right? The Book of Judges where, you know, people would be in the promised land, they're happy, they're rich and everything, they're blessed. And then later on, they kind of trust themselves and then they turn away from God. And then later on, other countries come invade them. And then after they go through so much, they turn to the Lord and God delivers them. Right? This happened after Solomon's reign too. Judges is before King David, King Solomon. And then after that, it's kind of like the same story, really repeating itself. Now, there were many kings before King Asa. The King Asa, unlike other kings, King Asa wanted to trust God. Other kings, they wanted to trust in power, trust in the horses, trust in their mighty soldiers. But King Asa said, no, I'm going to put my trust in God. And this story of, you know, some kings trusting God, some kings not trusting in God, it's all throughout 1st and 2nd Chronicles. You guys could look through it. There are so many of them. But, you know, I think it's no different than today's times in our economy, in our world now. I mean, think about this one, because the world is untrustworthy, right? And for the people back then, they couldn't trust in their king, because, of course, the king cared only about themselves. You know, he would send out these soldiers. You know, they would have to be a soldier and go out and fight and die, right? So then people couldn't trust their king. Right? Like, we can't trust our economy, we can't trust our country's decision makers somewhat. Our country should be providing jobs, right? But, you know, what's the economy right now? Where are we? You know, many people, you know, I know, you know, it's just difficult times financially, and it's not something we could really do much about, right? And the world is getting worse and worse. I think this is the same cycle that was written in the Bible, you know, like, yeah, you know, these people don't trust God. And right now we're at a time where we don't really know much about this God too much. You know, we kind of have a picture of like, yeah, there must be a God, but, you know, I don't know, is He real? All right, but this King Asa, unlike other kings of the past, he said, I'm going to trust God. And he went against the status quo. The status quo back then was, you guys heard me talk about it, right? The God of Baal, right? Where they give you all these riches. He's the God of the plant, the crops. So then if you serve this God of Baal, then, you know, you become rich. The God of money, You guys know this, right? God of money. Asherah poles, God of sex, all right? Gives you fertility. But what Asa did was, you know what? I don't trust in money. I don't trust in fertility, God. I trust in God. That's what he did. Verse 3, look at it. Verse 3, he started throwing those down, right? Those Asherah poles and things like that. And guess what the people were probably doing? Probably like the advisors of the king. Like, what the heck is wrong with you? You know, these are the things of our culture. We gotta rely on money. We gotta rely on, you know, this fertility god. We gotta rely on these other gods. You know, what are you doing? You as the king should not be doing this. You're stupid. That's what they were probably saying. You're stupid. How could you be doing that? But you know, as you go through the verses, it says, God delivered them. Right? I think it should be the same for us. Our trust. Back in those days, many people didn't know God. Even though they were the country of, or the land, the country of Israelites, right? They were the Israelites, but they didn't know God. That's why they couldn't put their trust in God. But for us, we could do the same thing. We could put our trust in God. He could deliver us. Yeah, you know, to some of us, it's going to look strange. You know, when our friends say, you know, what the heck is wrong with you? You don't trust in, you know, getting a good job, or you don't trust in, you know, getting, you know, hoarding all the money for yourself, you know, collecting it, piling it up somewhere like, you know, Scrooge's a money bank, you know. It's going to look strange. But that's what Asa did. He trusted in God. And things were better. His country was at peace. That's what the Bible says. Whereas before, all the kings, they were always at war, always in turmoil, right? I think of like the job. If you look at many job places, many workplaces now, it's all hectic because of the bad economy. I'm telling you, you know, there are people that are afraid they're going to lose their jobs, and they have to work harder. They have to work harder, longer hours right now because of the bad economy, and they can't trust anything. They just got to keep doing it, right? That's the kind of nation that Israel probably had when the kings didn't trust in God. But Asa trusted in God, and it says there was peace. And did you know our country, when the United States was formed, our founding fathers wanted the country to be a Christian country? I actually printed it out for you, so it's on your folded out sheet. I just got it from Wikipedia, just copy-paste. You could go look at it online if you'd like. But here's a line from it. Dear sir, this is one of the founding fathers, I forgot who said it, but it says, dear sir, no nation can be strong except in the strength of God, or safe except in his defense. The trust of our God and trust of our people in God should be declared on national coins. See, when the country was formed, we were a Christian nation. We wanted, you know, people to trust in God, and that's where we started. But then as time went by, it's kind of like that story again, right? As time went by, people started trusting themselves, trusting money, capitalism, and all that, right? And they started trusting other things, and they forgot about God. And, you know, somewhat, because they, our parents, or I'm not saying our parents, but parents of our generation, you know, I guess parents of our generation, they should have taught us about God. But even then, even the parents of our generation didn't know much about God. And the parents of that generation knew more about God, but then didn't really relay it down. So then we're in this state where many of us don't know about God. And then many of us are questioning, you know, I don't know about this God. And God is saying, like King Asa's time, turn back to him now. This is where the turning point is. You know, for us who could really say, there is a God, I refuse to trust in money, trust in the things of this world, but I want to trust in God. And yeah, I guess maybe we could blame our generations, because this is what King Asa's time was like. All the people, all the advisors were probably like, you know, this is the way we've been doing it. And, but then, you know, really King Asa's parents, or his generation's parents, didn't relay information about God to his peers. And same thing for the generation, and then it just kept going down, downward spiral. But when we trust in God, God restores us again. He makes us, puts us in a better position. And it could be for the country, but it could be for our personal lives too. Where you are in your life, you know, whatever you're concerned about, whatever your worries are, God could restore you. God could put you in a position much better than where you are, where you were, or what you could even imagine. He has plans for us. Here are some verses that I got. If you look at Psalms, no, I can't read it. My print came up bad, but I think I put it on your sheet. I think these are good reference verses for you. If you ever, you know, want to just refer to some verses, it says Psalm 9:10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. This is why I say, even if you don't know if there's this God, put your heart to God. Trust him. See, that's my challenge to you. Just one prayer request, okay? One thing. God, if you could do this for me, you know, then I might know that you're real. Come up with something. I'll give you a moment. You know, pick something in your life that's really bothering you or that you really want in life. Say, God, let me trust you in on this. Maybe you could do something. All right, Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He will do it. All right? Psalm 44, 6. For I will not trust in my bow, nor will my sword save me. I don't need to worry about money or job or whatever it is, because God is the one I will put my trust in. Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Okay, and Proverbs 3, 5, 6 is one of my favorite verses. Trust, lean not, and acknowledge. That's what it's saying. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Even if you're not sure where you're going, just trust. I challenge you, just trust. All right, let's go back to our... You know, if you could trust, then God could rebuild us from where we are. You know, people that are not trusting God and trying to rebuild, it's kind of like a building that's constantly collapsing, right? You could go try to put a block back, but two more stones fall down. So you try to put another stone back, three more stones fall down. And then as you keep trying to build this thing, it doesn't really get built. It actually gets worse. Trusting God, he could build it up. Okay? He's the one that is able to do all things for us. So trusting God. So you know, if you trust in God, you know, really listen, think about this. He can build you from where you are, restore you, and make things better. Here, I'm going to read from verse 12, and you know, just follow along, verse 12 through 15. Just think about what happened to these people, okay? The Lord struck down the Cushites before Asa and Judah. The Cushites fled, and Asa and his army pursued them as far as Gerar. Such a great number of Cushites fell that they could not recover. They were crushed before the Lord and his forces. The men of Judah carried off a large amount of plunder. They destroyed all the villages around Gerar, for the terror of the Lord had fallen upon them. They plundered all these villages since there was so much booty there. They also attacked the camps of the herdsmen and carried off droves of sheep, goats, and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem. Listen, they probably weren't planning on, you know, collecting the sheep, camels, animals, and all those plunder, right? But they did. I know most of the world doesn't want to believe in God. Most of the world, you know, they can't trust. You know, they can't trust in this God. And this is the same thing in King Asa's times. But what the hope is in this verse is that he can change things around. If we trust in God, God could change things around. He could grant us that peace. He could give us our desires. But we must trust in God. That's the hope that we have. Even though our world has fallen so degenerate where we can't trust anyone, God could change it. He is able to. And one really hopeful thing that I find about King Asa was, King Asa, probably like many of us, you and me, right? He probably didn't understand God fully. He probably, you know, his parents didn't really tell him about what God did for them in their past. He probably didn't have it all together about God. But he said, you know what? I don't have it all together, but I'm going to trust you, God. I don't know 100% about you, but I will trust you anyway. And from there, God, I think he made things happen. And, you know, I just want to be completely frank and just level with you guys. I know God is real because this is the God I experienced, right? And many of you know I'm an engineer, right? I studied like the hard sciences and I try to think everything logically, you know. Fixing a car, you know, you got to turn the wheels and, you know, take the, you know, whatever, right? I talk very logically in many senses. But when I talk about God, I know I can never prove him to you. I know there's no fact that I could say, because of X, Y, and Z, you know, therefore God must exist. And even if I tried, I'm sure that you'll find flaws in it because you just really can't explain God. So, my biggest, deepest desire right now as we start our ministry is for you to experience God. Because in our ministry, if we don't know God, right, then, you know, I don't know what we could really do. But with God, there's power. And I can't prove him to you. I want him to come meet you. But it has to start here. It has to start from you. Do you want to trust God? Are you willing to take that first step? If you don't start with the first step, then, you know, God is going to be, you know, God wants to reveal himself to you, but you got to first take the first step, right? So try even a little bit of your life. Seek him, you know, maybe try praying, try trusting, offering. You know, try those things. If you do, you know, God will reveal himself to you. All right, and also talk about just a verse, so a few more verses on the bottom, right? God is competent. He is able to deliver us. I'm just going to read it out. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Philippians. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power to the weak. Power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Right? And sometimes we find it hard to sleep because we have so many worries in our lives. It says, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. And he's able to forgive us from all kinds of sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So, you know, keep those verses in heart. God is able to deliver. On our website, I don't know how, have you, any of you visited the website this week? Just, you know, because I'm constantly updating it, and I started Twittering, I'm learning. Anyway, there were, you know, basically what I wanted on this website is for people to be able to interact. If a person visits the website, I want them to be able to say, hey, you know, I'm here, you know, I'm here, you know, here's my thoughts, here's my opinion. So I made some comments about, not comments, I made some fields where people could fit, add in their opinions. And then there was one person that did put in their opinion. He wrote, you're delusional. You're delusional. Oh, man. And at first glance, I'm like, all right, I'm going to just delete this message. It's discouraging to everyone. You guys could actually go see it. It's on the website now. And after reading that, you know, I started thinking about it, praying about it. Yeah, God, you know, what's up with this website? You know, I wanted to make it allow it so people could put in information. And, you know, here's a guy saying, calling me delusional. And I actually decided, you know, maybe it's a blessing. Maybe it's a God's challenge. Many people believe that Christians are delusional. And, you know, I started looking into it. I started looking up Google, delusional Christians. And I met this guy. This guy built a website. He's an atheist. Again, the difference between atheist and agnostic. Agnostic is most of us where we believe there possibly might be a God. Right? Atheists strongly believe there is no God. Okay, this guy's an atheist. I looked at his website and wrote him an email. You know, but then you could see the email. I actually put it on one of the sheets that you guys got. so that way you guys could see the conversation we had this week. But basically, I wrote an email acting as if, you know, hey, you know, I've been a Christian all my life, but I want to know what's real. And he responded to me. And and you know, as I was thinking about this word that he wrote, you're delusional, I was thinking, you know, that's right. These are the people that I need, that our ministry's got to reach. You know, like I keep saying to you guys, this ministry is not going to be for the hardcore Christians. The reason why I say that is, I want to reach out to those that don't know God. Which means, there's going to be people who's going to be telling me, you know, saying you're delusional. You know, I think you're a total liar. I know that. So, that's why I think I took it upon myself. I need to research what these guys are thinking. He recommended me some books. You know, you could look at my email. He recommended me some books. I'm going to go take a look at it. And, you know, I think we need to, well, I need to understand people at their level. I want you guys to join me, you know, as you come to know God better. So I want to conclude with, our God, he's solid. Okay? You could put your trust in him. And he is able to save. He is able to deliver. I just want to end with some verse in Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 25. You see, it says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were not written for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness for those who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Basically, here's the story about Abraham. All right, Abraham, God gave him a promise. This is in Genesis chapter 12. God said, go, I will make you a nation. You know, I will make your offspring as many as the sands on the seashore. What was the other one? Sands on the seashore. And basically, that's the number of stars in the sky, right? He's saying, you know, I'm going to give you a lot of children, right? I'm going to make you a blessing through your children. Abraham was about 100. Now, he was probably younger then, but then Abraham now reached the age of 100. His wife became 100, so he must have been older. But at the age of 100, he still didn't have a child. His wife was known to be barren, which means she couldn't have a child. So then, if you were in Abraham's position, would you believe in God? He just hoaxed you, right? I mean, here's the wife that can't have any children, but God is saying, I promise you, go, and I will give you, you know, through your children, you'll be a blessing. Would you believe in God? I mean, you know, for most of us, I bet we would feel like, you know, God hoaxed us. You know, what the heck? You know, my wife can't have children. It's obvious. You know, why should I believe in this God? Abraham still believed that God could do something. Age of 100, Sarah born him a son, and his name was Isaac. And you guys all know the story about now God wanted to test Abraham to kill Isaac, his only son, which he got when he was like 100 something years old. You know, but Abraham trusted and believed that God could do anything. So for us in our lives, I think it's no different. You know, I know some of you, God may not seem real, but he is. He is. And if you trust in him, your life is going to change. I promise you. All right, let's take a moment to pray. You guys know my deepest desire in my heart, you know, not just for you guys, but for those people that don't know about Jesus, is that they could see that he's real. I can't prove it to you, but I want you to experience him so that way you could say, yeah, I agree, there really is a God. So what I want to ask you to do is really come up with that one prayer, that one thing that you would really wish, you know, God could do. I wish God could do this. And say to God, God, I want to believe in you. I want to know that you're real. I want to experience you, because otherwise I'll never be able to fully believe. So God, show yourself to me. Here's my prayers. Here's my burdens. here's my difficulty in my life. Lord, will you show yourself to me? So take the moment to pray, and then I'll shortly end with the prayer, and then you guys could, you know, give your offering, and then we could be done. God, like you did with King Asa, you know, in his times, this was foolish for somebody to say, I trust in God, because you were non-existent, or, you know, to the people, they didn't believe that you existed. And for the most of the people, they said, you know, we gotta trust in this God of money, or fame, or popularity. You know, but this King Asa, he turned and said, I don't know everything about you, but God, I trust in you. And Lord, you changed so many things around in that country. You know, the land of war and chaos, Lord, you changed it around. It was peaceful. Lord, in our lives, in some of our lives, we face that kind of chaos. But Lord, we want to say, Lord, we trust in you. And we trust in you. So Lord, grant us that peace. And Lord, lead us in where we should go. And help us to trust you if it's hard for us. Lord, in this world of mistrust, if we find it hard to even trust anyone, you know, even our family members, sometimes we find it very difficult to trust even our best friends. But God, you're trustworthy, Lord, and you are able. So then, Lord, help us to trust in you, and all our life matters. And Lord, you deliver us. Lord, we believe. Lord, you're there. I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.